Hello, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. Hi there, this is Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA, and back with me today are Betsy and Rick Johnson. If you listened to last week's show, they were here last week sharing all of the knowledge that they've gained over the years on the inland rivers. And we didn't quite get all the way down the river system last week, so Betsy and Rick were kind enough to give us some more of their time. And we will pick up this week where we left off. Betsy and Rick, as you know, are many-time speakers from our rendezvous covering exactly this subject, and they always do that to great reviews. So we'll continue with them in just a moment. But before we get started, I'd like to take just a minute, and I want to recognize and to very much thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. And we thank them for their support, and we encourage all of the loopers and other boaters out there to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. Without further delay, I'd like to bring in Betsy and Rick. Thank you both for being here again.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
I know you've got lots of very timely and pertinent information to share with us today, so let's jump right into it. Last week, I believe we left off right around Alton, so why don't we pick up there and tell us what we can expect on the rivers there.
Okay, Alton is about 20 miles from Grafton. It is on the Mississippi River. It has two great things going for it. The first is right down from the marina is a huge casino with great buffets and stuff. The other direction from the casino is the Mel Price River Museum, which is a lock and dam museum. It is well worth riding your bike or walking, actually, up from the marina up to the museum. One thing there is they have a thing where you try to drive a barge into a lock. It's a simulation thing, and there's a lot of crunching going on there. So often it's a nice little stop. After you leave Alton, you'll go through the Mel Price Lock, which is one of those huge 1,200-foot locks. And then you're on the Mississippi. You're really rolling. You'll go past where the Missouri comes in. You'll go past St. Louis. And unfortunately, as great a town as St. Louis is, there's no place for you to stop in St. Louis. You just have to go by and just wave to them as they go and look at the arch. And your next stop will be on the Mississippi River at mile 158.5, which is Hoppy's.
Let me back up just for a minute. I want to make two quick comments. Alton Marina, the best bathrooms anywhere on the river system and almost anywhere on the entire loop. And as you go by the arch in St. Louis, even though you can't stop there, you'll probably be traveling with a bunch of other boats. Have one of those boats kind of pull out of the pack and take a picture of all of you going by with the arch in the background. It makes a really nice picture.
It does, and we have a lot of people send that to us. That's kind of one of those iconic pictures from the Great Loop trip, so definitely try to do that. And I know the ladies out there appreciate the bathroom tip, Betsy, so thank you for that.
Okay. So we've got the Hoppies. Most of the stuff that I tell you has come from Fern Hopkins. She runs Hoppies. It's some ripper barges tied up. You probably won't be there but one night because she's going to have another bunch coming the next day. She's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 4:30, she's going to have a meeting. And she will give you the latest information about the river down to Green Turtle. If it's high, low, where you can anchor, where you can't anchor, she's the authority. So if she says something different than what I say, she's correct. I would definitely make sure I make that meeting, and because she can tell you everything about the river. You're going to leave there probably the first thing the next morning. By the way, she's the last stop for fuel for 250 miles. So you might want to top off while you're there.
And that is the longest distance, correct, Rick, on the loop where you have to go without a fuel stop?
That's correct. There is a place to get some diesel in a minute, but that's not really recommended. Anyway, you're going to leave Hoppies.
But before he leaves Hoppies, one comment, and anybody that's heard us talk before has heard us say this. Fern knows the rivers. When you are coming in to dock at Hoppies, she will tell you what to do, and you better listen to her. If she says throw a line from the other side of your boat and you think that's wrong, that doesn't matter. You go ahead and do what she tells you. She knows those currents, and she knows the depth, and she will tell you what line she wants, and you better give her that line.
And if not, she'll throw that line back to you. Okay, so you do stop there. It is a must stop and a must listen to her thing. And a walk into Kimswick, which is the little town there, is also pretty nice. You go on down. The first place you can stop after that is called Kaskaskia Lock and Dam. It's only about 40 miles away, so it's you know, it's almost too soon to stop, because remember, you're going to be going 12, 13 miles an hour. But you can turn into the Kaskaskia River, and the lock is right there as you turn. The lockmaster will allow you to tie up to the sides of the lock, but you cannot leave your boat. So if you tie up there, say at noon, you got a long time to sit on your boat till tomorrow morning. Most people do not stop there, but it is available. You go on down to getting close to Cape Girardeau. Just before Cape Girardeau, there's a place called Kidd Fuel Dock. Now, you can get diesel here, but you have to call ahead, 24 hours ahead, and you have to get at least 50 gallons, because he actually brings a truck there and runs the hose down a long hill. Ready for one boat, no overnighting. Then you go a little bit past that, past the town of Cape Girardeau, and you come to the Little Diversion Canal. Now, the Little Diversion Canal is 111 miles from Hoppy's, but it's easily made in one day because you're going so fast. And basically, you pull off the river into this little creek, and it's plenty deep, room for 9 or 10 boats to raft up in there. It's really, really nice. Be nice and quiet. And, you know, just be there and tie up to each other and just wait for tomorrow morning. Some people think this is a place to go out and walk your dog. It's not really, because the water, the mud around there, you will sink up to your knees in mud, and it just probably is not good. Next morning, you're going to take off and leave. You're going to go 48 miles on the river. Again, it's hauling, and you're going to come to where the Ohio River begins, and you're going to turn up into the Ohio River. It's at a town called Cairo, Illinois. And immediately, again, as we mentioned before, as soon as you turn, you're going to lose 6 or 7 miles an hour immediately, because you no longer have that push from the Mississippi, and the Ohio is against you. So you're going to turn into the Ohio. After just a very few miles there, you're going to go past a new lock and dam that's being built. It's called the Olmsted. It is not yet in operation, and it is there to replace two other locks at some point in the future.
I just want to make one comment about when you turn off of the Mississippi into the Ohio, you can visibly see a line in the water. The difference in color between the Mississippi River and the Ohio River is startling. And be sure to look for it, because it's very, very interesting. I don't know of any place else that you can see this distinct difference in color. In fact, even before you get there, you might want to look at it on Google Earth or something like that, where these two rivers converge. The difference in color is amazing.
Yeah, the Mississippi is muddy. So once you turn up into the Ohio, you're going to pass Cairo. No place for you to stop. No place anywhere along here for you to pull off. No marinas. You're going to come to Lock 53. That's 11 miles up the river from Cairo. You're going to go through that. Then you're going to come to Lock 52, which is 23 more miles up the river. Now, here's where I need to alert everybody right now. There's been some talk about 52 on the forum, and I must tell you that I've just talked to the superintendent of the Corps of Engineers today. Lock 53 is being worked on. 52 is being worked on. The main chamber, which is a 1,200-foot chamber, the big chamber, there is a secondary 600-foot chamber. The main chamber is closed. It was closed on August the 31st, and it will be closed until September the 25th. This means that all the tows that are going up and down the river have to go through the small chamber. Many of them have to be broken into pieces in order to do that. The superintendent over there this morning indicated to me that there are barges backed up and down the river on both sides of the lot, and currently for the tows, there is a wait of 36 hours. So that is not a pleasant situation. My suggestion, and I'm going to put this on the forum tomorrow, you might want to make sure you read the forum, is slow down on the Illinois, slow down getting to Hoppy's. Don't get to Lock 52 until September the 27th or later. That still gives you a month to get to the rendezvous, or 3.5 weeks. Still have plenty of time. But that lock is going to be a problem, because there are lots of boats going through there. I understand that if we get a lot of rain, there's a chance they may take the wicket stand at that lock, and that is a wicket dam. And if that's the case, you'll be able just to bypass the lock and go right over the dam. But at the present time, there's no call for a lot of rain, and it looks like that's not going to happen. We all really hope it does to keep this backup from affecting the loopers. So that's, you need to stay attention to the forum and any notice to mariners, things like that. This can be a big deal because it's happening right in the middle of our migration.
Right, and Rick, I appreciate you checking into that and speaking with the superintendent there, and definitely through the forum or getting into contact with me, please keep everybody up to date with where we stand with Lock 52, because that certainly could be a hindrance to people continuing on their normal planned schedule, which, of course, we always say is a bad thing to have in the first place. So loopers are very good at adjusting.
Right. Well, they might have to do some adjusting this time. I warned them during our talk at the Norfolk Rendezvous that there's always a glitch in your travel somewhere along the way that causes some heartburn. Well, this year, this is your glitch. So
that's going to be it,
That'll be fun. Once you do get through 52, whatever day that is, little thing you'll see is Paducah, Kentucky, which is on the left descending bank. It's a town. It's a nice town. There's no place really for you to stop. I do. Some loopers have said they do pull in. There's a town dock and they stay there, but they get out first thing in the morning. But there's not room for 9 or 10 if you're in some kind of a pack. It is here if you decide that here's where you get a choice. You can go up the Tennessee River, or you can go up the Cumberland River to get where we want to go, which is Green Turtle Bay. If you go up the Tennessee, it is 11 miles shorter than the Cumberland. But because it is shorter, all the coves use that route. So when you get up to the lock, which is up there, the Barkley Lock, you are going to be, the Cumberland Lock, you're going to be held up waiting for coves. Now, there is a phone number in your Skipper Bob book to call them. And if they say, oh, it's not busy today or we can get you through, then go on, go that way because it's 11 miles shorter. But if you go up, just go up there by yourself and then there's a bunch of toes come through, you're going to have lost 22 miles and you're not going to be happy. What most people do is go on past Paducah and go another 11, 12 miles or so, Cumberland River exit. And they turn up into the Cumberland River. Again, the river's against you at this point. And they go up the Cumberland River through the Barkley Lock and Dam and into Green Turtle Marina. Now, again, this is the first place you can get fuel for over 250 miles. So, you know, a lot of people are going to be wanting to pull in there. They're going to be tired after two or three days on the river, rafting up, and you had no place since Hoppy's that you could actually pull into a marina. So Green Turtle is a great place. In addition to being a great place, they have all kinds of maintenance. They can pull you out of the water. They can do any kind of maintenance for you. They have a couple of courtesy cars, and I would suggest that you do go into town and eat at Pat's. But I also suggest that you get a courtesy car and for provisioning and so forth, go back to Paducah, which is about 20 miles away, do your reprovisioning. And also for the ladies, this is a special treat. Paducah is the home of the National Quilting Museum. The best quilts ever done in America are at the Quilting Museum. I'm not a quilter, but I've been there twice, and it's really fascinating. They have several watermelon museums there. It's just a great stop, so you want to go back and, you know, just kind of relax after this long time on the river.
This is a good place to plan to share the courtesy car with at least one other couple and maybe two other couples, because you're going 20 or 25 miles to get into Paducah. You really do want to do it. But I think they have a limit on how long you can use the courtesy car. So plan to share the courtesy car here and take a bunch of you into Paducah. Don't miss the Quilt Museum. You will be sorry if you do.
And Green Turtle Bay is also a commander-level sponsor of AGLCA. So we appreciate them, right. And loopers love it there. So we definitely suggest that as a stop.
Yeah, and they're upgrading all the time. It's really a very, very nice marina. And particularly after this long deal on the river, you're just tired, and for a couple of days you want to just sit back and take it easy. Well, that's a great place to do it. It's very well protected. You'll thoroughly enjoy it. Now, once you leave Green Turtle Bay, you can, if you want, just continue on up Cumberland River. If you do it on our schedule, we've talked about the lock, you may not have time. But some people are going up the Cumberland River to Nashville. There's a couple of docks up there and a couple of marinas. If not, it's time to go on down the Tennessee River. So you'll go through the Barkley Canal. You're in the part of the country called the Land Between the Lakes, and you're between Lake Barkley and the Tennessee River. So you'll go through the Barkley Canal, which is only about a mile long. You'll turn downstream, actually you're upstream against the Tennessee, and, you know, head off toward Lake Wheeler. Now, let me just mention right here, this is another place where your Skipper Bob book is so good. There are at least 1,000 places for you to anchor if you want to anchor out. I can't by any means mention them all, but they're all over the place. And if you get look at your Skipper Bob book or look at the Google Earth above it, you just pull off all these codes and all. Just go wherever you want and anchor if you want to. Sugar Bay Anchorage is one. There's lots of them. So you continue on down either anchoring or whatever. Major marina you'll come to is called Pebble Isle. Nice little stop. They feed you breakfast the next morning of some hot cinnamon buns, so that's good. Leaving there, your next place is probably Clifton Marina. It's not a big fancy marina. It's relatively small, but it's at the end of a nice long day, and you're prepared to be tied up. That's good. Leaving there, you're going to pass, and I just mentioned this because we want to come back to it in the car, Shiloh National Park is going to be on the right descending bank. You won't see it when you go by, but when we get to the next place, we'll have you come back in the car. You'll get to Pickwick Lock and Dam and also Pickwick Lock and Dam Marina. They're at mile 206. Some people stay there, and you can actually anchor in there or you can pull into the marina. If you do pull in, that is a place you can get a car. They don't have a courtesy car, but you find some way to get back over to Shiloh. What we typically do is don't pull into Pickwick. Rolling up 9 miles, you are at the entrance of the 10-Tom Waterway, which is the southern route which you're eventually going to take to Mobile. Turn into that for about a mile, and you'll find Grand Harbor Marina and Aqua Harbor Marina. These are also two big sponsors of AGLCA. They are both excellent marinas, very nice people. The Aqua Harbor can do any kind of repairs and all that you need. Grand Harbor is more of a condominium place with a huge marina. They have Grand Harbor has 3 courtesy cars. They're nice. You can take one of those from there over to Shiloh or tour around. It's just a very nice place, and you will truly like it there.
Take your crying towels with you when you go to Shiloh.
Yeah, you know
it will break your heart.
Yeah. Anyway, when you leave there, you go on down the river to Florence, Alabama. Only one place for you to stay, and that's the Florence Marina. The restaurant is kind of off and on as being open, but they do have a courtesy car, and from there you can go back to Shiloh as well. Also, Florence has a lot going for it. It's the home of W.C. Handy, the inventor of the blues. Across the river in Tuscumbia, Alabama, is the home of Helen Keller. There's a beautiful town park over there. Also, 25 miles out of town, one of my favorite highlights was the National Coon Dog Cemetery. I don't think you should miss that, but that's up to you. Anyway, all that's in Florence.
Or outside of Florence.
Or right outside of Florence. But Florence is a nice stop. Once you leave Florence, you only go a mile, and you come to the Wilson Lock and Dam. The Wilson Lock and Dam is 94 feet rise and fall, so it's going to take you over 30 minutes just to go up and down. It's a fantastic ride, though. You go through the Lock and Dam. Again, should be several of you if at all possible. Go through the Lock and Dam. The next Lock and Dam is the Wheeler Lock and Dam. You're getting close to Wheeler now. Go through the dam. Go through the lock. Excuse me, not through the dam. Go through the lock. And when you go through the lock, look over on the left-hand side, which would be the right descending bank, and you'll see two creeks that come into it, the Tennessee. Don't take the first one. Take the second one. Turn and go up into it. It's called First Creek on your chart. Go into it, the second creek, but it's really named as First Creek. Go into it, make the little turn, and the Joe Wheeler State Park will be right in front of you. You won't be able to miss it. It's got docks for 50-some or 60-some people. They will be full of loopers. The whole place is taken over by loopers, and that's the site of the Fall Rendezvous, and which is where we want to get. So basically we have gotten you from Alton to Wheeler, and except for Lot 52, it's a very, very easy ride.
Okay. Rick and Beckley, I'm going to pause there for just 1 second and play a message from one of our sponsors. Then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about the rendezvous and any other tips you might have for the river system. So be back in a minute.
Right. Curtis Stokes & Associates is a yacht brokerage company that specializes in Great Loop capable boats. Curtis Stokes is a supporter of AGLCA at the Admiral level. If you're looking to buy or sell a Great Loop veteran from a trusted and knowledgeable broker, visit the company on the web at curtisstokes.net. Email curtisstokes@curtisstokes.net or call 954-684-0218.
Okay, we're back with Becky and Rick, who just got us down the river system to Joe Wheeler State Park, which is the site of the rendezvous. The rendezvous is a little bit earlier this year, Rick and Betsy. It actually starts on October 15th and runs through the 17th. It's a Wednesday through Saturday this year, which is also a little bit different. So talk to me a little bit about the Lock 52 situation and how much time people really need to get from Lock 52 to Joe Wheeler State Park. What's kind of, you know, obviously there could be weather delays and things like that, but all other things going well, how many days should people allow to get from Lock 52 to Joe Wheeler?
Well, once you're at the Green Turtle and you get onto the Tennessee River, the beginning of Tennessee River to Joe Wheeler is 250 miles. So if you're looking at 50 miles a day or something like that, that's only 5 days. If you take a few more days and anchor out and all that, so you've got, from the time you leave Green Turtle, 250 miles to get to Wheeler. Easily should be able to do that in 2 to 3 weeks without any trouble at all. So if you make it through Lock 52, let's say on September 28th, 29th, somewhere in there, and the rendezvous is the 15th. Is that what you said, 15th?
The 14th is the first day.
14th. So you'd have 14. That'd be 16, that means you'd have 16 days from the time you get through Lock 52 to get to the rendezvous on time. You should be able to do that. I mean, you may have to run, you know, may not be able to stop 2 or 3 days out of the week, but you should be able to do that. And keep in mind, you're on rivers. Unless you have extremely bad weather, you're going to make good time every day. Several rivers, well, I guess I started saying they're with you, but they're not. They're against you. I think you could make easily 50 miles a day. It's not hard. And the marinas are about that far apart. So I think the lot may complicate it a little bit, but I believe people will be able to make it without any trouble.
Okay.
Kim,
yes.
Let me just say this. A lot of people in years prior have gone up the Tennessee River all the way to Chattanooga and then come back in time for the rendezvous. And so with this hold up this year where you might not get, you know, you might be sort of last minute getting to the rendezvous, plan to do that Tennessee River side trip, which we highly recommend. It's not really a part of the loop. It's a side trip, but we highly recommend it. And just plan to do that after the rendezvous instead of before the rendezvous. In years past, you've had plenty of time to take that extra week or 2 weeks and do the Tennessee River. This time, just plan to do it after the rendezvous. And the leaves will be even more beautiful. You know, like there in the middle of October is when the leaves are really starting to change, and that's when you want to do that side trip of the Tennessee River.
And that's great advice. We wouldn't want anyone to miss that. So, yes, there is plenty of time to do that after the rendezvous. And we do have the marina is completely full. The lodge is completely full, all of loopers. And the rendezvous is sold out at this point. But we do have 60-plus looper boats that will be there. So it's going to be an exciting and good time. If you haven't signed up and you're interested, there is a waiting list on the website that you can always add your name to so that if a space becomes available, we can let you know about it. Betsy and Rick, any other tips or advice for us as we're traveling the river system? Anything about locks, currents that maybe we didn't mention that people should be aware of?
I will just reemphasize for people to please read the forum over the next couple of days, and Rick will have the most up-to-date information about Lock 52. We're waiting for a call. He did talk to them earlier today, but we're waiting for a call back for a couple of other questions that we had. And so he will answer those questions in the forum over the next few days, and we'll stay right on top of things that are happening. And so those of you that don't read the forum, start signing in and read it.
I'd also mention the locks on the Mississippi and the Tennessee and all that, once they get to the Mississippi, are much different than the locks you've seen earlier. These are 1,200 feet long. They carry a huge barge. They all have the bollards on the side to tie up to, so they're very easy to navigate. You just put one line around the bollards down there and hold it. It's really easy. But the locks are big. They can handle a lot of boats. They're way easier than some other locks you go through because they're just easy. I mean, there's just nothing to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, great. And Rick, we do appreciate you. Thank you for contacting the superintendent there at Lock 52, because I know that's information everybody's going to need. For those listeners we may have who are not AGLCA members, the forum that Rick and Betsy mentioned that they'll be posting updates to is the AGLCA members discussion forum. So you do have to be a member to access that. You can find out more information about that on our website. And if there are any members out there who, for some reason, are not getting the forum by email or are not logging into the website to see the forum and need some help with that, you can reach out to me directly. My email address is krusso, that's K-R-U-S-S-O, at greatloop.org. Or you can call me at 843-879-5030, and I'd be happy to help you get that information. And Rick and Betsy, thank you for kind of taking care of that, because it gets the information out without the superintendent having to hear from many loopers on a repeated basis. So thanks for taking the lead on that. We appreciate it. It's about time for us to wrap up, but Betsy and Rick, I thank you again for spending your time with us and sharing your expertise. Hopefully we can get you back on the show again at some point in the future. I know you know a lot about all points on the loop, so we'll definitely invite you back sometime soon.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks for having us, and don't forget to send a check.
Send a check.
And thank you all out there for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode.
Thank you, Kim.
Bye-bye.